God's promise will be delivered. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. We've learned that the book of Hebrews looks toward the future, as should we. Our sufferings here and now are not the permanent state of things. Yesterday, we thought about the joy beyond the cross that sustained Jesus. He will rule all. His enemies will be made his footstool. But there is more. And today, Jim will take us to 1 Corinthians and Revelation to see God's endgame. Here's part two of For the Joy Set Before Him.
Now, turn please to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, I promise, is worth the trip. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now notice in verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15, 20. But now, Paul was writing this, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, that would be Adam, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man, that would be Christ. For just as in Adam all die, we're all born sinners, we're all made sinners. When Adam ate the apple, all humans born in his race would be born sinners. One exception, a virgin conceived son, and she called him Jesus. Only exception. Now watch. For just as in Adam all die. Do you realize what that's saying? That's saying you were born dead. That's saying you became a sinner with no decision, no activity, no rebellion against God. When you came into the world through your mother's womb as pure as and bloody as can be, you were already dead in trespasses and sins. And there was nothing you could do to change it. That all happened back in the garden. So, just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Jesus Christ, by his death, burial, and resurrection, provided a way out, a victorious thing. Hang on here. But each in his own order. Each will be made alive in his own order. Each in his own order. Now here's the order. Number one, Christ. He's the first fruits. He's the one who rose first. He set the pattern. He set the model. So he's number one. He's the first fruits. Afterward, when he comes, the people of Christ, those are believers, believers of all ages. Part of them will be resurrected at the rapture. Others will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation. We know that from Scripture. So those are the people of faith. They will be resurrected, each in his own order. First Christ, afterward, at his coming, the people of Christ. Now that's not been fulfilled yet. That's a part of the promise. That's not done yet. Now watch. Then comes the end. For the word end, which is the word telos, write the word last. L-A-S-T, what? The last resurrection. That's talking about the great white throne judgment when every person who has died unredeemed, died without Christ, died without eternal life, all of them are resurrected in the last resurrection, and you can read about that over in the book of the Revelation. It talks about the great white throne being set up and all the dead are raised from their graves, all the dead. They are resurrected. Remember Jesus said in John 5, you want to know who I am? I'll tell you who I am. All who are in the graves will hear my voice and come forth. Some in the resurrection of life. The rest in the resurrection of judgment and damnation. No human member of the human race. And I believe that extends to children. We have four children in heaven tonight we've never held. In my view of Scripture, from what God teaches in the pages of His Word, when a child is conceived, that child has been given life by the eternal Creator. And that child has eternity ahead of it. What Scripture teaches. That's why what you and I are about is so critical, so important. There isn't a plan B. There is no soft sell. There is no alternative. No one's going to undersell us or undercut us. And that's why the devil is so busy. He just desperately wants us to keep quiet. Well, there it is. The last resurrection, the end resurrection. And when that happens, it says, when he, that's Jesus, hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he abolishes all rule and all authority and power, for he, that would be Jesus, must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is what? Death. And when does that happen? The last enemy to be abolished, death, is when the last human has been brought out of the grave. Resurrected. Physically resurrected. Not ghosts floating around. Physically resurrected. The Bible teaches. That's the great white throne judgment. Now notice verse 27. This sounds familiar. For he has put everything under his feet. Who's put everything under his feet? Read on. When it says everything is put under him, it is obvious that he who puts everything under him is the exception. That would be God the Father. And when everything is subject to him, God the Father, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who subjected everything to him. See that? I wrote my critical monograph for seminary on this passage. It's a great paper, fantastic insight, but it won't give you any answers. I read everything that had ever been written on this passage. Everybody stops here and says, what in the world does that look like? Notice the last phrase. So that God, not the Father, not the Spirit, not the Son, it's the words it's used when God is seen in his Trinitarian unity. So that God may be all in all. Folks, that's when the promise will be delivered. Now, here's what the writer is saying in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and 12. He's saying, look, you folks need to learn to persevere. That means you need to believe God, serve God, honor God, love God, be subject to God, whether he answers your prayers the way you want them to or not, because you're not God, he is. That means whether serving him leads to the guillotine or leads to a prominent place in people's minds and writings. Those are irrelevant details. Your job is to be faithful. And if you have been walking faithfully in faith and you come to the valley of the shadow of death, and you have not received God's total promises yet, relax. God isn't finished yet. Relax. He's got it all under control. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came into the world, went to the cross, suffered, died, rose in resurrection, went home to glory, and God said what? Sit down, son. Sit. Until I make all your enemies your footstool. So what happens? The last enemy that is vanquished is death. And when death is done, when death has been abolished, then God says, well, you don't have to take my word for it. Look, Revelation. Turn back to Revelation. You can see a picture of this. Revelation chapter 21. Yeah, Revelation chapter 21. It's amazing. Revelation 21, this is after the great white throne judgment. This is after the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth. This is after the 7 years of tribulation. This is after the marriage of the bride goes to heaven. This is after the Bema Seat judgment. This is after the judgment of national Israel. All of those things have all been taken care of. Now look how it reads. The present heaven and earth has been burned up in fire. Fire consumes. You can read about that in chapter 20. Read all about that. What's next? Then I saw a new heaven, watch, and a new earth. For the first heaven, that's the one that's existing now, and the first earth, that's where we are now, had passed away. The sea no longer existed. This is a whole new world. Incredible. I also saw the holy city, that's your home base, that's your heavenly home. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So this is not a picture of heaven, where God is now, where the throne of God is now, and where the sun sets. That's not what's pictured here. This holy city comes down from God out of heaven, where it is now. It comes down, and look what happens. It comes down from God. It's prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice to the throne saying, "Look, God is dwelling with men. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will exist no longer." I'm not sure all that that means, but I know one thing it means. Satan lost. Demons lost. Unrepentant men lost. It's interesting, in Matthew 25, Jesus says concerning those goats, "Depart from me to the place prepared for the devil and his angels." So somewhere out there, somewhere in the midst of that new heaven and earth, there's a place for the devil and his angels and all those who chose to follow him. It's called the lake of fire, and it's eternal, and there are no exits. Death will exist no longer. Grief, crying, pain will exist no longer, because the previous things have passed away. Then the one sitting on the throne says, "Look, I am making everything new." He also says, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." He said to me, "It is done." That's the same word that he uses when he announces the end at the seventh bowl of wrath. It's the same word Jesus used when on the cross he said, "Father, it is finished." Same word. Now, Hebrews, the writer to Hebrews, assumes that you know all that. And he assumes that you and I will find comfort and purpose and be exhilarated and exercised in all of those good things, knowing that even God the Son is waiting. Sit until. And we read in chapter 10 of Hebrews, he is sitting, waiting. Waiting for what? Well, Jesus once said, when talking about the time of his return, he said, "You know, no man knows the day or hour except my Father." My Father. Now, whatever you do with that, Jesus is saying, "Dad's in charge. I, the eternal Son, have willingly divorced myself from the exercise of my private, eternal, divine prerogatives. I'm still God, and you see me, you see the Father, but I have become human, and becoming human meant I had to lay aside certain prerogatives. I surrendered those to Dad, the Heavenly Father." By the way, my dad is your dad. Think of that. Oh, and when I get back home up there, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He's also God. And he's going to live inside you. For what? For all the things that are promised in his ministry. To sustain us, help us, empower us, transform us, teach us, guide us, fill us, so that we will be people of radiant faith. But that's not the end. The end will be over there when the last living human has been pronounced guilty by the charges registered against them in their own handwriting. That's what those books are all about. And when the great eternal one, Jesus Christ, who is the judge at that judge, will say, now let me show you in the book of life. See that blank spot? Look carefully. You'll recognize your name was once written there. You chose to erase it. And by the way, you'll notice that all that I did on earth, I did for your salvation. The only reason you are not going to spend eternity in heaven with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with all the redeemed ones, the only reason you're not going to do that, the only reason you're being consigned to the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever, because you chose to follow the master deceiver, Satan himself, and you refused my free grace and my offer, the gift of eternal life. Now, that makes the book of Hebrews the most titillating book of all the Bible when it comes to eschatology. It assumes on every page, it supports every one of the other arguments that are being talked about all the way through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 5, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. It supports all of that by this undercurrent of there is a promise. God's going to deal with his enemies. He's going to do it in and through the Son. So serve him faithfully. And if you happen to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, if during your tour of life, the Father does not choose to say, go get him, son, relax. They who preceded you in the path of faith cannot become perfect without you. And you know something? Maybe I can do it next week. I really need to talk to you about what you're going to look like in your new uniform. I really need to talk to you. I need to remind myself what it means when it says, I make all things new, and that includes you, includes me. Dorothy Painter wrote a sweet note the other day. You remember Dorothy Painter? How many of you know Dorothy Painter? She's going to be 90 next month. Bless her heart, she wrote this cute note, and what she's basically saying is, Pastor Jim, 40 years ago, I asked you to do my funeral. I need to renege on that for this reason, all valid reasons, all valid reasons. She said, I'm going to ask so-and-so to do my funeral. So, you know, so relax. And I wrote about a thank you note, and I told her, I said, Dorothy, I can't wait to get to heaven to see you in your new body. I can't wait to hear you sing in heaven when your tubes have been absolutely refined and glorified. I can't wait to watch you dance on those streets of gold. Now, I suspect you'll argue with Jesus about the way the towels are arranged in your apartment. And I'm sure that you'll fuss with an angel or two along the way, but boy, I'm anxious to see you absolutely transformed. That's the same way with you and me. You can't imagine what I'm going to look like when God takes the original plan, what God had in his mind when I was conceived in my mother's womb, what he wanted, what he desired. All my life was written before that. And I messed it up. But he's going to erase all of that by his grace and mercy, and he's going to perfect me. He's going to absolutely, I'll shine like the stars. That's physical stars. So will you. No more pains, no more limping. Not sure whether we'll have gold hair or gray hair, and that really doesn't matter much. But you will, for the first time, look in the mirror and see truly what your potential in life was. You will see yourself radiating in the magnificent glory of the perfection the completed work of the great Creator. Now, when you watch the sunset, couldn't tonight, too bad, it'd been a good one. When you watch the moon tonight, when you watch the leaves turn, you're just seeing shadows of the Creator's creative perfection. Wait till you see yourself when He's done perfecting you. That's the promise, and it's guaranteed to every one of us. Our Heavenly Father, it's weary down here at times, sometimes stressful and sometimes not enough of anything to go around and too much of some stuff to enjoy. And we're not always loved, liked, supported. We're not always appreciated. Sometimes our ideas are never even given a clear hearing by others. And we get old and weary. But your word tells us that they that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their strength for His, that we will mount up like eagles. We'll walk and not be weary. We'll never be affected by hunger, by nightfall, by fatigue, by grief. You tell us that we're going to be made like Jesus, that you're going to crown His perfection by making us perfect like Him, that you're going to take out of us this old sin nature that often leads us into destructive paths and horrible thoughts, that you're going to make all things new, fresh, radiant. Wow. That's the promise. And that's where all of us are headed. Those that are prepared and those who have not yet trusted you to receive from you the gift of your love, the gift of your grace, the gift of your mercy, the forgiveness of sins, and the transforming power of your Spirit.
God made some promises to Abraham, some to Israel, some to Christians. Could we say that God made promises to Himself, say to one day live among human beings in peace and fellowship? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. That is the Amen of faith. Today we heard part two of For the Joy Set Before Him. If you'd like to own the sermon on CD, we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. God's Ultimatum, Volume 2, is our ongoing series. You can have the 20 talks in that set on CD for an offering of $69 or more. Listener gifts and prayers are essential to the ministry of Right Start. Your voluntary aid is how we do everything around here. So obviously, the more people who help, the more people we can reach. Please prayerfully consider how you can be one of those speaking the truth in love to our world. Thanks. Call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. Or mail Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. And the most feature-rich way to connect with us is through our website, rightstartradio.org. You'll find lots of good content there. You can play radio programs from the site. You can subscribe to the daily podcast on the Apple platform. You can listen to the sermons unedited. And you can donate securely at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Christians are running a race that some don't know we've entered. Jim will have some thoughts for us on Hebrews 12 on Wednesday's edition of Right Start.